Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 20th day of June. That's right, the first day of summer on Audomini 2020. And you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 7 minutes after the hour. We're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Yes, exactly. Parallels has long been known for making it easy to run Windows apps on your Mac. Now the company has partnered with Google to bring Windows apps to another major platform, Chrome OS, or at least the enterprise version of Chrome OS for now. Parallels says its Google partnership will allow you to run full-featured Windows apps, including Microsoft Office, on Chrome enterprise devices. Parallels also emphasizes its software will enable collaborative remote work with Windows apps, whatever that means. Of course, you can do that now with Google Drive apps, but who's counting? The press release is scarce on details, but it's potentially a game changer for businesses that have opted to deploy the sprightly Chrome OS instead of Windows. While I'd be concerned about performance, given Chromebooks already tend to be low-power devices without the added impact of virtualization, the ability to run Windows-only apps on Chrome could be a lifesaver, especially with more people working from home these days without access to their usual work devices. While there's no word on whether there will ever be a way for regular consumers to run Windows on Chromebooks, rumors once suggested Apple wanted to let you dual boot Windows. Google wanted you to dual boot Windows. I actually wrote Google and said Apple. Drugs. I need them. Parallel support for the enterprise gives me a little bit of hope for that. Google says we'll hear more about the specifics on Windows on Chrome in the coming months. I'm not sure how much of an impact this will have on the general community, whether it's enterprise or home. There's almost nothing you can't do on a Chromebook. If there are Windows-only apps that you absolutely must run, large enterprises have remote desktop solutions. So what's the actual audience for this, especially given it's currently enterprise-only? At any rate, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows is coming to Chromebooks. And your choices are, I can't wait. Could be useful. Interesting. Meh. Why? And other. So far, we have 23 votes, and why is clearly well in the lead. Of course, if you said other, or if you just have more to say, which I'm sure many of you will, you can head on over to soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under fascinating stuff. You'll see the forum. Second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under forum discussions is 20 June 20. Windows is coming to Chromebooks. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585. 966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. I think it's a gimmick, personally. There really is very little the average user, yes. I'll get all these calls.
Well, I use the professional version of Adobe, and I can't do it on a Chromebook.
Well, that's right.
And you shouldn't. Do it on a Chromebook.
And you shouldn't do it on a Chromebook. So congratulations to you. But for the average user, there's nothing they can do on a Windows machine that they can't do on a Chromebook. It's easy, it's fast, it's convenient, it's inexpensive, and it works great. So the ability to run Windows apps doesn't mean much to the average Chrome user.
It's a new line on the brag sheet.
That's about all it is, too.
And what I'm afraid of is that people are going to now mistakenly think it's a Windows machine.
Right.
Because most of them, they don't know any better. So they don't know the difference between OSs. That's a better way to say that. And they look at the $200 Chromebook and say, oh, okay, I'll buy that because it says Windows on it.
Right.
And then they try to run Microsoft Office and it'll be dog slow.
Exactly. I mean, you can already run all the Chrome apps, all the Android apps, and all the Linux apps. I'm not entirely sure what you actually gain, unless your company, and this is why I believe it's an enterprise thing.
Yeah.
If your company has written a program that is Windows only, and the only way that you can run it is to run it as a Windows program, then yeah, then I get it. I absolutely get it.
Yeah, back when we were a cellular provider, so in addition to selling phones, we also sold the service too. The carrier we picked was using Internet Explorer 8 as their front end for their back end database, and this is when IE 10 was already out, and so we had to run IE 8 in an emulator on our Macs so that we could get to this, and we could already feel how creaky IE 8 was. And we kept, you know, saying, when are you going to upgrade to a web-based so we don't have to worry about IE? Oh, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Well, Microsoft is saying there's something wrong with IE, and you shouldn't be using it either.
Right. Oh, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm running a Chromebook right now. I have, of course, I'm a little different. I transitioned to Windows 30 years ago almost now. And have not missed to Linux 30 years ago, and I haven't missed Windows a day. But
you need to get out more.
I need to get out more. I clearly have been home for way too long. But the fact is that I have not, except for one or two proprietary programs that had been written strictly for Windows. Beyond those, I've never had an instance where I couldn't do something in Linux or now in Chrome, and have a perfectly fine time and be able to collaborate with every single other human on the planet.
And they don't know that you're not using Windows.
No, they
and
really
it,
don't.
And it doesn't matter.
They really don't. And in fact, I've said this before. Back in the day when I was still working, I would have faculty who would come to me and say, oh, I've written a paper and it's corrupted. Okay, use the backup. Oh, backup? It's like I'd spoken Swahili. Backup? Mm-hmm. Kiss? What is kiss? So I would then open that corrupted file in LibreOffice. Now, when you open it in Microsoft Office, Microsoft Office says, oh, this file is corrupted. I can't do a thing with it. I give up. LibreOffice says, oh, this file is corrupted. Well, here's all the uncorrupted parts.
Yeah.
So they get 80 or 90% of their project back, and they'd be very happy. But I don't know. It was just confusing to me that people, you know, God forbid I don't have Windows. All right. Go ahead.
Oh, we got someone on
the
phone.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, we keep getting IT people are telling our Mac customers that they can't get on the VPN because they have a Mac. And, well, they don't know, and the excuse is they don't know anything about Macs. Learn something.
Yeah.
IT people love to have acronyms after their name. Take a Mac certification course, maybe. Get another, maybe use that to increase your salary.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, you can hook your Mac to the VPN. The VPN clients are built into the Mac. You don't have to, that's the problem. You don't have to add anything, so they can't charge you for adding something.
Yeah, right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Don from Rochester, New York. What's up, Don?
Hi, guys. I use a Windows 10, and when I go into a staff directory, which I do a lot, and let's say I'm looking for the vice president, there's an email. I click on it, and it takes me to Welcome to Mail. And it asks me if I want to add an account or create an account. And I click on Outlook, and I do not get the email. I have an Outlook account. So I think, oh, I'll create an account. So I do. The minute I put my email address in, it says, you already have an account. My question is, I still don't know what the email is.
All right. What email program do you prefer to use?
Outlook.
And whose account is this message in that you're trying to click on?
Well, it might be the University of Rochester. It might be the Rochester School District. Right.
So they have to they have to share that mailbox to you in Outlook. If you're clicking on a file on your desktop, that's the problem. You can't open it because they haven't shared that mailbox with you.
Wow. Then why do they put it in a directory that's public?
Because someone didn't know what they were doing.
Well, theoretically, hold on.
You might be able to right-click and open with.
Theoretically, if there's an email, you're saying like, you know, Nick at RIT.edu no, or whatever.
No, an actual
That's
message.
Right. You got it.
No, a link to create a new message or an actual message?
No, an email address in a directory.
Yes.
Okay.
So theoretically, if you click on that, it opens your email program.
Your preferred, yeah.
And
it should make a new message then.
And open a new message.
Yeah.
It used to.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were trying to click on an actual message.
No. I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't make that clear. Before, this is what's throwing me. Before I started Windows 10, it was a piece of cake. Every time I saw an email, I click on it, it would put it right in Outlook as if I could right click and put it in my contacts. Now, I have to try to find the email, which is difficult.
Try to right click on that email address and see if there's a new message to command. So you're getting a new message to that person.
Or you can say open with Outlook.
Open with Outlook or copy. And then go to Outlook yourself, make a new message, and paste.
But you can run Outlook itself on that machine?
The Outlook program or the Outlook website?
The Outlook program.
Okay.
And you can run that on that machine?
Yes.
You said it opened Mail, not Outlook? Initially?
Well,
it's trying to use Windows 10 Mail? So maybe your default mail reader is not set right anymore. Windows
possible.
10 is assuming you want to use Windows Mail and not Microsoft Outlook.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, so here's what you need to do. Write this down.
Okay. All right.
Wait a minute.
Okay, shoot.
Okay, you go to the Windows taskbar and hit the Start button. Then you select Settings, which is that gear icon.
Yep.
Then in the Windows setting dialog box, there's a text box called Find a Setting.
Okay.
And you type in default.
Okay.
And of the choices there, you'll see one called the drop down. There'll be a drop down in the top choice, but certainly one of the choices will be default app settings.
Okay.
Then you can select, there's a number of choices for things. One of the choices is mail. So you select mail, and then from there you select Outlook.
All right.
It's probably, as Steve said, set to the Windows Mail program when you want it to be set to Outlook.
Okay.
There's also,
and then save your way out of there, say okay, and close and all that. And you should then be able to double click on any email link and open up a...
There's also a way to do it inside of Outlook. On the
right.
File tab, go to Options, and then General, and then Startup, and there's a Make Outlook Default program.
So either way will work.
That's good. That's why I call you guys.
That's the reason we're here.
Thank you so much. And listen, stay safe, all right?
You too, will you?
Take care. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
It used to be the tricky point was that if you used webmail, trying to get email links to open webmail instead of trying to open the mail program on your computer.
Pardon?
Right.
Okay, hold on.
Paul Lind.
Yeah. In the center square.
In the center square. But okay. there's a plethora of email programs that are available. Microsoft, of course, insists you use theirs.
And that, but they have four.
But they have four, and so they've picked the wrong one for you.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Canandaigua, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hey, good afternoon, you guys.
What's up?
I'm wondering about this marriage between Chromebooks and Windows. What effect is that going to have with Quicken products? Any? Quicken has always said that they're not going to do anything for any.
Theoretically, you'll be able to run Quicken on a Chromebook under Windows.
Yeah, that should be a possibility.
I haven't seen the release of the program yet, but the way it normally works, the Parallels program is $80. Then you have to buy Windows, which is $120 for home. So you're looking at spending $200 to run Windows on your Chromebook.
Plus Quicken itself.
Plus Quicken itself is, you know, whatever that is.
Right now, you can run Chrome apps and Android apps and Linux apps all for free.
Right.
Unless you buy a Linux app or an Android app. But with Windows, as Steve said, Parallels costs money itself. And then Windows is never free, ever. So it will have a cost as well. But of course,
you used to be able to do Wine.
I was about to say you should probably be able to do Wine.
It's 32-bit only, and they're not going 64 yet.
All right.
Quicken does have their Quicken Online. You can use in a web browser.
Right.
If you really want to.
Yep. Yep. Right. Well, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
So
have a great day.
You too.
Yep. So that's the one use is when there's a Windows program you really want to use. You can be able to use it on your Chromebook. Although there are lots of other financial programs that run fine on Chrome, but
that's exactly right.
Quicken's the 800-pound gorilla.
Quicken is the 800-pound gorilla. But it is available online. Is there an Android app for it?
I only see Windows and Mac.
Yes, there's a...
There's an Android version. It's a companion app. So if you use the online version to sync your data, then you can use the mobile apps to see that data.
Right. But yeah, the fact is that except, like I said, for a very few programs, Quicken is one, Photoshop, and nobody's going to run Photoshop on a Chromebook. It's just not anybody who has human patience.
Just to say you could.
Yes. But I don't see it as a thing people are going to do. So, I think, like Steve said, this is a checkbox. It's a gimmick just to be able to say you can. There's nothing. There are certain specialized add-ons for Word and Excel that certain industries like lawyers and certain financial industries use. And so for those, okay, I get it.
Oh, it's an RAS. It's a remote access service. I'm looking at the Parallels website now announcing it.
So you have to have a network connection.
Yeah. And then you have to have the Parallels RIS server at the other end hosting.
Which is why it's enterprise only at this point.
Hosting a Windows. So it's remote desktop for
Chrome.
Remote
desktop. Well, that's the way everybody wants to go anyway, right? I mean, that's Microsoft has said they're going to do it. Apple already partially does it. They have Pixie booting. Which lets you load from the web.
Yeah.
From the internet, excuse me. There's...
Although, do not run Windows Remote Desktop RDP services publicly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, ever.
There are horrible security flaws. Homeland Security even issued a directive, do not run RDP. And Shodan still shows tens of thousands of publicly accessible RDP service. That they're so easy to break into, and then the bad guys have access to that computer, which is then connected to the rest of the network.
That's right. The reality is that most of this stuff was never designed with security in mind.
It was designed to be easy to use.
And there's so many scams out there, folks. Yep. You know,
the code used to be in the drawer sitting next to the computer.
Exactly.
And if you could make the code better, you were the hero.
You were the hero. I have used RDP to connect to a system on my internal network. But I've set up my router so that it will not route that protocol out.
Yeah, it's within. Yep. It's an internal thing, so it never hits out there at the internet, you know, the
right.
World Wide Web.
Right, and I'm mostly using it to one of my Raspberry Pis to store music, old time radio and stuff.
I just had another thought. Parallels is I bet going to be marketing this as a competitor to Salesforce. So on your Chromebook tablet, when you're in the field, you can run your Windows application back at the office. So that's the next big revolution is. No, we've been doing it for a long time already.
Yeah, remote desktoping has been around.
Remote application server. So when you're on the go, you can connect your work location to run those Windows apps.
Again, it's Windows coming to the table too late.
Because nobody likes Windows tablets.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right.
Well, again,
Microsoft has already given up on Windows. They're including Linux now.
Yeah.
Now they're getting rid of their own back-end servers. They've got Azure. Azure is the only thing that made them money last year. Mm-hmm. So where do you think they're going to put their efforts in the future?
Yeah. Well, the thing of it is like we said, everything is going to subscription. And you get a Chromebook and, you know, you can run anything and everything from the web. And, like we've said for a long time, they don't get viruses, spyware, malware, don't have to worry about patching it because it's going to get hacked like Windows does constantly. I think they probably spend more time right now, asserted effort, on trying to patch all the holes than developing new stuff.
May's patch Tuesday was 114 updates that... most likely affect Windows 7 and Windows 8 that aren't getting patched.
That are not getting patched.
Well,
so if you're still running 7 or 8, oh well.
I just noticed, though, on both my Windows 10 machine, now all of a sudden Facebook and all that loads fine since they changed their whole face. You know, if you logged into Facebook, that everything else, it's like it's for the older folks now. Everything's bigger.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it!
Facebook has stopped being the cool thing, and so...
Yeah, it was only 111 security holes, not 114. I'm sorry.
Oh, slap your hand.
Slap your own hand.
Yeah,
really. But, I mean, that's the thing. You know, they're seeing that they're spending too much time patching, which isn't making them money, and not being able to develop new stuff that they're saying, no, that's it.
Well, they've already gotten rid of their entire QA system, quality assurance. They don't hardly do any testing. It's all automated, which is why so much crap gets out.
Yeah, they do testing. It's called the end user does all the testing for them and tell them all the failures.
And only a small percentage of people have problems. But even 0.1% is millions of people.
Millions of people, that's exactly right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. And you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are the longest running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful that we remain member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More soundbites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Us for chair dancing. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Do we have someone waiting on the line? No, I don't think we do.
Nope.
So I will read the news. Speaking of Microsoft and Quicken and all of that, Microsoft is making available its promised Money in Excel feature to Microsoft 365 personal and family subscribers, starting with those in the U.S. Notice this is for the online subscribers only. This budget tracking capability, not to be confused with the old Microsoft Money app, is one of a number of consumer-centric features Microsoft is adding to its rebranded Office 365 consumer subscription plans, which the company unveiled in late March. Money in Excel is a template and add-in for Excel. The feature allows users to connect their bank accounts, credit cards, investments, and loan accounts automatically to Excel so they can import transactions and other account information into an Excel spreadsheet. Because who doesn't want to give all their financial information to Microsoft? Users can track spending habits and see their monthly spending totals via the snapshot sheet. The connection between financial accounts and Excel is handled by a third-party plugin from Plaid, which currently supports connections to more than 10,000 institutions, including retail banks and community credit unions. The Money in Excel feature is available to existing Microsoft 365 personal or family subscribers. Microsoft suggests Money in Excel on a PC or Mac using Windows 10 and Edge or Chrome browsers when possible for the best experience. Users need Windows 10 1903 or later, or Mac OS 10 10.9 or later to use the feature. Microsoft officials said they will be expanding global support for Money in Excel in the future. There is no free experience for Money in Excel, meaning to use it, people will need to have a Microsoft 365 personal or family subscription. That said, there is a 30-day free trial in the U.S. for the subscription, so those interested can kick the tires. Last month, Microsoft started rolling out another new feature for Microsoft 365 personal and family subscribers, its Family Safety app for iOS and Android. Those apps are available in limited preview form for testing. So, do you trust Microsoft and Plaid with all your financial information? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Hold the phone, Charlotte.
Yeah.
Gee, slap me if I'm wrong.
Okay, I promise.
But didn't Microsoft have a money program?
Yes, they did.
Before?
And nobody bought it.
And what happened to that one?
Yeah, exactly.
They got people to invest in it, set it all up, and then they discontinued it.
Right. Now it's just a template in Excel, and they've partnered with a company called Plaid, which does, you know, has connections to 10,000.
They've gone to Plaid?
They've gone all the way to Plaid.
No stripes?
Yeah. It's all about that Plaid. No stripes.
Hello.
Anyway, the point here is if you are a Microsoft 365 user, and here we go again, all the new features are going into the subscription product. Pay attention, folks. All the new features are going into the subscription product. You don't buy any of this stuff anymore. You've never owned it, but now you can't even buy it and think you own it. Now you rent it.
Yep.
And all the good features are going to be in the rental stuff.
That's the only way they're going to make money.
That's the only way they can make money.
Yeah. Well, like we just said at the beginning of the hour, you know, as far as Windows itself, they're not making money on that for Jack Zip, unless it's on a new computer, because otherwise the rest of the money is being spent trying to patch all the darn holes.
Right. So they're not making money on Windows. They're not making money on the buy it versions of Office.
Right.
The only things they're making money on are their subscription products, which are many of the things that enterprises use. So you'll see that there's lots of enterprise stuff coming out. There's Office 365 and Azure. Those are the products that are making Microsoft money.
Well, that's one thing I hated on this last update that it did on my machine. Threw Edge on there.
And well, you don't get a choice in that. It's they're like, going to give it to you.
Well, they were. Oh no, they
good
even
and hard.
Yeah, they even pinned it to the. Yep. I said, "Oh heck, no! Get that out of here! I don't want to see it." I deleted it. Matter of fact, even any of the menu items in that, delete. I don't even want to know that it's buried in there somewhere because I am not looking for it and I don't want to use it.
But you're using it anyway, because anytime you do anything in the Finder, and it's not called the Finder, the Explorer, anytime you do something in the Explorer that has a web-like component, like you read a PDF.
Right.
Or that stuff, that uses Edge internally to do those things.
Right, but that computer there doesn't go out on the web.
Doesn't matter. If you're right.
I understand
it's
that.
It's other things as well. So
right.
Microsoft is determined that you will be using Edge whether you like it or not.
Yeah, not that I want to see on my screen.
Right.
It can be buried in the bottom code and everything else.
Right.
It's just like I refuse to use their mail program. I will not use Explorer. None of that. I love my Chromebook. It does everything. I don't have to worry about, oh, is this going to mess up my machine if I do this or do that? Because the Chromebook, I don't have to worry about it.
The people who really love Chromebooks are system administrators. The people who've spent the last 40 years wrestling with Microsoft to get machines to work properly love Linux and love Chromebooks.
Well, that's
and
why
would
the
love Macs if they use them, which most of them don't.
But that's why the school systems even now went from a Windows-based machine, and Mac was trying to get in there too, to Chromebooks. Because as an administrator for the computer systems now, as an IT person, I can sit there and wipe all the tablets out, reset them up for the next school year, and it's done just by having them turned on.
Yep.
Turn them on, and they automatically do it.
Equally importantly, I can decide what is allowed to go on them, where they're allowed to go. I can do all kinds of things as the administrator, and that makes it... And that makes it beautiful for a systems administrator. Yeah.
Not to mention the fact that Chromebooks in general are pretty cheap.
They're cheap.
And so when schools are buying, you know, pallets of them.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the other thing. So they're cheap to begin with. They're easy to manage. They upgrade for a long time. This machine right here, which I bought last year, will receive updates until June of 2026. 7 years of updates for what? A couple of hundred bucks.
Yeah, and no, they don't have to worry about viruses, spyware, malware, updates. You know, all of a sudden these patches that are going to cause other issues, like they do in Windows.
Right. And the few things that can give you a problem on a Chromebook, you know, there are some add-ons, Chrome add-ons. There are some apps for Android.
Yeah.
That can cause you a problem before they're weeded out of the stores. And as an administrator, you can block those. So you're done.
Yeah.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Charlie from Henrietta, New York. What's up, Charlie?
Oh, I have a question about monitors.
Okay.
So my son is a gamer, and for his birthday, he's telling me, oh, Dad, I need to get a G-Sync monitor. Have you heard of G-Sync monitors?
G-Sync.
Not offhand.
Okay.
G-Sync is a okay. It's a sync technology.
From NVIDIA.
From NVIDIA, that's primarily designed to stop screen tearing and that sort of stuff. So what it means is when you've got a fast-paced game, it looks better.
Yeah.
Yeah,
on that monitor,
cleaner
with
and sharper.
G-Sync.
So it's not a brand; it is a technology. So most of the monitor manufacturers will make a gaming monitor that uses the G-Sync technology.
ViewSonic makes one. Asus, Acer. I mean, a bunch of companies make them.
So I was looking. There's also something called FreeSync. So I'm kind of confused because there's G-Sync, there's FreeSync, and then there's something else called G-Sync compatible. But the problem that you're describing is exactly the one that he's trying to solve. He says he's getting screen tearing.
Yeah.
Yep. But I'm trying to figure out which one I should get him, whether it's a G-Sync or a FreeSync, which seems to be a little bit cheaper, or a And then there's something else called G-Sync compatible, but it all seems very confusing.
All right, so FreeSync is the same idea, only it's from AMD.
The other big graphics company.
The other big graphics company, where G-Sync is from NVIDIA. So it really depends on which card you have.
Yeah, which graphics card
he's got
has.
NVIDIA.
Then he wants G-Sync.
Okay.
And then G-Sync compatible would be a third-party company that tried to make something close enough, but not pay the royalties.
Right.
Oh, I gotcha.
Yeah. And I'm seeing some of these monitors are pretty expensive.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. I'm kind of, you know, interested in, you know, he asked for one of these for his birthday, but they're super expensive.
According to PC Gamer Magazine, the best one is the Asus ROG Swift and it's only $850.
Oh, geez, forget that.
For a 27-inch.
Can you get any refurbs? Sometimes,
maybe.
Not bad idea, you know, getting a refurb. I mean,
I don't know how long G-Syncs have been out for a couple of years, so maybe.
Maybe.
Okay. Oh,
here's a better Asus. I'm sorry. I started at the bottom end. The 4K version is $3,000.
Is that all?
Oh, yeah.
We used to joke about.
You better do the dishes too.
Yeah. Well, people would spend $2,000 or $3,000 on the video card in their gaming machine. Same thing with monitors. You spend $2,000 or $3,000 on the monitor to be able to handle that type of video.
Great.
The Acer Predator's 1,000. Holy crap! I'm glad I don't play video games.
Right.
yeah. Exactly.
Alienware. Yeah, they've got one for $1,400.
Oh. Ouch! Ouch!
So yeah, big time.
Yeah, Alienware is kind of the king of gaming systems. Although Dell bought them, but so we don't know how good they are anymore.
Well, yeah, I don't know this year. When they first bought them, they were still pretty great, but I don't know what they're like.
You got a Dell?
Yeah. All right.
Well, thanks so much, guys. Keep up the great work.
Yeah, good luck. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Before we go back to the phones, David in the YouTube chat says, my computer tells me I have a missing DLL when I try and install Kodi. What's the best way to fix this? Well, David, it depends on are you trying to install Kodi on Windows?
And which DLL does it say it's missing?
And which DLL is missing? So put those in there, and we need more information before we can answer this question, I'm afraid. It's one of the problems we have with the text messaging, too. It's people either give us way, way too much information or clearly not enough. So in the meantime, we'll go back to the phones, and our next caller is Steve from Walworth, New York. What's up, Steve?
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I wanted to talk about a letter I received from Spectrum last week.
Okay.
And you can let me know if you previously talked about it, but I couldn't find anything. It says, we've detected activity from your modem that one or more of your devices in your home, such as computer, tablet, or cell phone, is infected with advanced botnet malware. So I went to the site. I found their anti-bot scanner. I scanned the Windows machines, and it didn't find anything. But my main machine is a Linux, and my backup is a Mac. And I look for anti-bot scanner software for my Android phone, my wife's iPhone, Linux, and Mac, and couldn't find anything. So I did a Google search as, okay, if how did they detect this botnet malware, and where is it going to and stuff. And I really, a lot of people are discussing it, but no real...
Okay, a couple of things. First, are you absolutely certain that that message came from Spectrum?
Well, I said a letter, but it wasn't an email. It actually came through the postal service.
Yes, but are you certain it really came from Spectrum?
Is it offering to sell you anything?
Well, when I go to the site, the security site that is on there, it wants me to sign up for their security suite.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Which I didn't do.
Good. It's a scam. You shouldn't have downloaded anything from it. Now you really need to dance the security tango. Luckily for you, there is a version of the security tango for Windows, for the Mac, and for Linux.
Yes.
And in many cases...
And Android.
And Android. In many cases, these botnets are running in your DVR.
That's true.
Which you can't change. They would have to update it at their end, or more likely you'd... take your DVR in and get a new one and lose all your recorded shows.
Oh, yeah, that.
Okay. Well, I didn't download the anti-bot scanner directly from the site in the letter here, but I did a search, and it came from Charter Communications. And I ran the tango on the computers, and they didn't find anything either.
Yeah, I think
then it's likely it's a scam.
Yeah, it's still a scam.
Wow. Yep. From the Postal Service. Wow.
Well, that's the easy way to do it, right? Because that way, if you're one of the people who would actually be suspicious of some URL, there's no URL.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're telling you what to type in. You know, I mean, instead of just having stuff go through the junk mail, you know, even again, on a mailing, if they do a mass mailing for, say, a postcard or something like that, it's pretty cheap. And even if they just get a couple of folks on this mass mailing to sign up for or fall for it, they've made money.
Although it does look like Spectrum Business, the company, is partnering with F-Secure, a noted research company, and the antibot scanner is from F-Secure.
Yeah, that's what pops up on the screen when I install it and run it.
But yeah, so it's likely not any of your computers. It could be it could be your DVR. It could be security cameras. It could be your thermostat if you have any Internet of Things devices.
Yes, I have lots of those.
Yeah.
They're running their own specialized.
Yeah. Right. And there is almost no security on the Internet of Things.
Yeah. You would have to get a packet analyzer to watch all of your outbound traffic to see.
That's what I was wondering. A Wireshark.
Wireshark would do it.
And look for suspicious or something.
Yeah.
Yep, that would do it.
Check with the manufacturers of all of your Internet of Things devices for any firmware updates.
Okay. Yeah, the letter goes on to say it gives a phone number to call if you have any questions or further assistance. Thank you for being a Spectrum customer.
Yeah.
So I probably shouldn't even bother wasting my time calling.
Well, it might be legit. Is it an 800 number?
It's 855, so that's an 800, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm seeing reports that other people have gotten this letter from Spectrum, and some of the links are going to the actual Spectrum website, and the anti-bot scanner is coming from the F-Secure website through Charter, which is the company that owns the Spectrum brand. And so it's probably a legitimate letter, whether it actually happened or not. It could be anyone on your head end.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, Dave can understand this. I have one computer with a lot of ham radio applications, and the scanner. The scanner picked those applications and said, "We like your permission to send these programs to us." And I said, "No."
No.
It didn't know what they were.
Yeah, those are legitimate applications, but I guess they didn't understand what they were, and maybe, you know, those are running in the background, so maybe that looks like malware traffic to them.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, you don't want those log files going out on that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're like me, you know, I mean, one of my log files is over 10,000 contacts, and that would be information that they could use emailing out to those 10,000 people, and that's around the world.
Yeah, I never say, you know, to help us, you know, make better software, please send us, you know, your error file, log file, whatever, and I always say no.
Yeah,
good for you.
Mm-mm.
Okay, guys, thank you. We've answered my question then.
All right,
take care.
All right.
Have a good one.
You too.
Well, it's good to know that's probably legit. That's important, but
still suspicious.
It is still suspicious.
You know, like they, how did they know? You know, I mean,
well, look, they can do scanning, but the thing that Steve said is correct. They need to do their own. He needs to do his own scanning. He seems familiar with Wireshark.
Yeah.
Wireshark is a program that will check your network,
all the stuff
for
going
traffic,
out.
All the stuff going in or out,
and you will be overwhelmed with everything it finds.
You'd be amazed at what it will find. There's just an immense amount of traffic happening on your network, even when you're not doing anything. Computers talking back and forth to each other, and all kinds of stuff going on.
We used to say, "Look at your cable modem light, and it's blinking. That means there's data passing." Turn everything off in your house, it'll still blink.
Yep. Yep, because it's talking to the head end if nothing else is.
Yeah. Constantly.
Yeah, they're very chatty.
I think some of them don't blink anymore because there's no point.
There's no point in it.
It's redundant.
Yeah.
I had a dropout earlier, or was it this week? Last week? Last week. From Greenlight.
Really?
It lasted almost a minute.
Ooh.
I was going back and forth on the web, and suddenly I couldn't get anywhere. I looked up, red light on my modem that went right out again, and I was back up. I don't know what happened, but it was certainly less than a minute, and I was good. I notice things like that now because, well, I have a whole bunch of IPs, a whole bunch of websites that I'm running. Mm-hmm. And so I've written a small program that checks to see if they're up, to see if one of them goes down. And, you know, every once in a while, I'll get the little red that tells me this is not a working website. And I'll go look. And sometimes it's that site. Sometimes it's just, you know, every once in a while, you go to a website and it doesn't answer. But if you hit refresh, it answers. There's that just moment where you don't get it. So we get those as well. But you know, when suddenly the whole list is going red, I look up at the router and say, oh, yeah, okay, that's.
Yeah, we have people bring their machines into us, and their symptom is sometimes I can't get to web pages.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's true. Sometimes you can't.
Right.
That's exactly right. Thank you for playing.
If you hit refresh, it'll take a different road, maybe, and it'll get to the
website.
It'll
get there. Yeah, exactly.
Well, like I say, I don't know what Windows did, but up until last week, this past week, Facebook was constantly not loading for me because I opened up my browser and Facebook wouldn't load.
They just did a major browser upgrade.
Yeah, and now that Facebook wound up updating it, boom, now it pops up, no problems, not choking or anything else. But it was only that website. All my other tabs, because like you, I've got many tabs opened that I'm checking various stuff. And as a matter of fact, like you were saying, I've got a couple Raspberry Pis that I'm running. And I've got it so on this one little box that I showed you that's running, I can touch it and check the status of both of the Pis to make sure that they're talking to whatever particular service I have them set up for. And I can, just by touching that, see, oh, that one's up. Yeah, it's running. Boom, the other one. Yep, it's up and running. But since I've been to Greenlight, I got to admit, my two Raspberry Pis have been running no problems, not dropping out, losing anything else, because it doesn't take much for them to all of a sudden lose connections and drop out like that.
Yeah. I just got my Raspberry Pi 4,
ooh.
8 gig. So I haven't put it, I put it together, but I haven't set it up yet. I've had life in the way a little bit.
Life. Don't talk to me about life.
Life. All right. That music tells me you've wasted an entire hour with this nonsense, but don't go away. We're only halfway through this. We've got a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and with you. Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And check us out at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you, you can see those phone numbers there as well as the text messaging number. And we'll be back with a whole lot more of Soundbites right here after these lovely little messages. And don't go away. We'll see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
On Instagram at WGMC Jazz 901.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And it's 6 minutes after the hour. You're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. To the phones, our next caller is Stosh from Webster, New York. What's up, Stosh?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I was curious if you guys have heard anything. You guys have been talking a little bit about green light networks, and I live just up north past Webster Thomas. I don't know if there's been any, like, still delays in their installation process. I don't know if you guys have heard anything about that.
We have not, I'm afraid. No.
But they have an interactive map on their website where you can see where your street is and what stage it's in of planning to installation.
And Steve, have you visited that one?
I visited a couple weeks ago, but this was, again, you know, like during the time where we're still kind of like dealing with the COVID virus and all that.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And I'm not sure if their production has stopped because
they're outside. No, because they're outside and, you know, they're up telephone poles. So they don't have to worry about distancing. So, you know, there's not a group of folks up at the top of the pole and running water.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure they were part of the phase two reopening as construction.
Yeah.
But maybe as infrastructure, they could have remained open all along. It depends on how you got rated.
Yeah, I was just curious because I was also thinking they may also be like dependent on like other providers, you know, to bring the materials to make things happen. So I'm just not sure.
That's a point. Is fiber still being made?
Right. Yep. So that was just my concern.
I'm on their website, and right on the main page is a whole section about the COVID-19 business. It does say that green light techs are following the CDC protocols and et cetera, et cetera. So it looks like they're still working, maybe a little slower.
I've seen plenty of their trucks out on the road.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're out there. Yeah, I would just go to their map, and you've already signed up, right?
Yeah, I'm signed up. I'm just waiting because I need to meet the requirement for the number of people that are using it.
Well, go to the website, and like Nick was saying, you can select your area because you can do it by Irondequoit, Webster, and all that. Check it, and then look for your area as far as your street and see where the progress might be because it can change within a week. I mean, I went from...
in a day.
Yeah, I mean, I went from, you know, oh, we're far from all of a sudden, you know, even close to being signed up. Then all of a sudden, boop, we got bumped up. And I had it. So, you know, check it for sure.
I'll definitely check that out. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. You guys hopefully are enjoying the weekend.
You too. And good luck on getting green light soon.
I'm hoping so.
Yep. Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, as this whole COVID-19 business goes on and on, we see that work from home becomes more and more important. Speed becomes more and more important.
A lot of ISPs increase their speeds for free.
Yeah, that was nice.
While everyone was, which means that they could keep the speeds increased for the not increasing price, too.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, and you know it. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Peachy, you?
I'm hanging in there, doing what I can, you know?
I know.
Gentleman called before about the FreeSync.
Sure.
G-Sync. And last year I bought a monitor from LG. It's a 23-inch, and it is both compatible with FreeSync and G-Sync. And I only paid, it's an LG, and I only paid like $199 for it. It was on sale. It was like $230. And I paid $199, and then they went on clearance, and I got it for like $99.
Nice.
In the end, because of the their price matching.
Sure. What size is it?
It's a 23-inch.
Not bad.
Yeah, and it, the only thing you have to do though is you have to install the software. You really can't adjust the monitor properly.
Right.
You know, but let me see. This model's gone now, but there may be a replacement. I'm trying to see if I can find the model number, but I can't. And it is an IPS screen, so, you know, he's going to get good color, and he's going to get a good view from the sides and top and everything. It keeps its uniform picture.
Right. And LG's a pretty good product, so.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I do get a little bit of bleed in a corner, you know, of light when I have a black screen, but it's not bad, and I can't complain.
I don't see anything below 400 on their website at the moment.
Yeah, this one was regularly 249, and that was a year ago.
Right.
Geez, I wish I could get you the the stock number because, you know, if he could find this on a closeout or, you know, somewhere.
Well, and what I didn't get to say, and I should have to Charlie, is that check Newegg at Newegg.com. Check Amazon, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, you know, the kind of places that where you can usually find pretty decent products.
Yeah, Newegg, I've had luck with them in the past.
Yeah.
And I like theirs, too. Let me see. I was just doing a little search on this. It says you can buy this monitor on Google for $199.99.
There you go.
So all I put in was, what did I put in? I put in LG 24-inch IPS LED FHD FreeSync monitor, black.
There you go.
In the Google search, and it came up.
There you go. And as long as it does G-Sync, which is what he does.
And it says right on your ship from and sold by Best Buy.
There you go. Oh, Best Buy. There you go.
All right.
There. All right, thanks, Mark. That's excellent.
Yep, have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks.
A lot of the gaming monitors are curved, too, so you get that, you know, left and right, you know, side view, so someone can sneak up beside you.
Right.
I saw a video this week,
okay.
And I had to really look to make sure it was a real video, not a video game. It was a paintball gun competition. But these guys went really, really overboard with their paintball wars. And there was a sniper who was shooting people in the face. And then had a camera hooked up through his sniper scope. And one of the captions was, don't buy cheap, you know, face masks.
Yeah.
How about don't snipe people in the face?
Yeah, right.
This is a good one. Catherine from Lake Ontario.
Okay. Our next caller appears to be Catherine, somewhere in the middle of Lake Ontario. Hi, Catherine. What's up?
Hi. We were just talking about green light.
Yeah.
And we're getting green light, and we got some of the stuff put up on the poles but in the house, but they said that they have to get permits.
Right.
I don't know if it's from RG&E or what.
RG&E or Frontier, depending on who owns that pole. Sometimes both, because there could be several poles. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what's holding it up, because we've had it on for well over a month.
Yeah. Well, what happens is 100,000 years ago, Frontier owned all the right-of-way in I think,
Rochester
at least Monroe County.
Rochester Telephone? What was the predecessor to Rochester Telephone?
Right, Rochester Telephone. Right. And they sold much of it to Time Warner, which is now Spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
But what that means is that when somebody like Greenlight wants to use the pole, they have to get permits. Now, it's not that Frontier and or Time Spectrum are actively blocking them, but they're not fast.
Yes.
And especially right now with the city offices and everything else for filing are probably closed.
Right. So that part has indeed slowed down because of the coronavirus. And it's not that they don't want to, believe me, they want to give you green light. But there are issues, mostly bureaucratic issues have to be solved before anything else can go on.
I would think it'd be a thing of filing because right now DMV just opened up this Friday.
Right.
And that's limited. So all your county clerk offices and all this other stuff are probably still...
I renewed online, and it still took weeks.
Yeah, you know, they're doing a lot of stuff remotely, so this filing and everything else, that could take a heck of a lot longer, most likely.
Yeah, you know, they do, you know, Greenlight has to pay for that right away, but that's not the problem. The problem is getting everybody signing off.
Right.
Good luck.
Well, thank you. Thanks for the update. It's always frustrating when they're almost there.
Yeah.
I know,
that's the worst.
Well, it's been since April 12th, my husband told me.
Yeah, you can see the wire hanging up on the pole.
Yep.
And they can't
get to the next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank
you. Stay safe. Stay out of the water.
Stay on the boat.
Yeah. It reminds me of a story I read during the last ice storm where the linemen were just overwhelmed and working, 18-hour days, and companies from all over the country were coming in to help. And read a story about a person who basically sicked the dog on the lineman, wouldn't let him come down the pole until they turned her power on. And he kept saying he couldn't. So finally he was able to call the police, and the police subdued the dog and held the woman, at bay. He climbed down that pole, climbed up the next pole, and turned her power on.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Steve from Greece, New York. What's up, Steve?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I hope you're staying cool.
We are that. How about you?
So far. I don't have the AC running, but the house is staying cool. I have been using Dashlane as a password manager for a number of years. And I recently, 6 months ago or so, got the Norton package. I decided to get Norton. Norton also offers a password manager. And I'm wondering if there's any reason to continue with Dashlane, or if I can switch with no loss of quality. And if that is so, how do I, all my fancy passwords that I don't know what they are, how would I transfer them to another password manager?
In the Norton password manager, you sign into your vault, and then you can click import, and in the import passwords window, one of the sources is Dashlane.
You might want to try running them both for a while on separate computers if you can, to see which one you like better.
Okay. I'm obviously very familiar now with Dashlane. I've been running it enough.
Right.
That's always the tough. Familiar often beats new.
Yeah.
Even if new is better.
Yeah. Right. So you can import from Dashlane, but of course you also have to export. In Norton, you can import from Dashlane, but in Dashlane, you have to export as well. So you export it, say, to a CSV file.
Right.
And then find that CSV file in Norton. Make sure you've selected Dashlane, because the format of the CSV, I mean, it's going to be CSV, but the column format will be different for different products.
Right.
So make sure you select Dashlane and then import that CSV file. And you should get everything. And then, of course, shred that CSV file.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, quick question. Is Dashlane superior to Norton?
6-1.
That's a religious question.
Yeah, it really is. 6-1. They're both fine. If you're happy with Dashlane, it's doing everything you want it to do and you know it, keep using it. Why not?
If it ain't broke, why fix it?
Well, because you pay for both.
Well, right. But in terms of because you're already paying for Norton. Okay, so give it a try. You can always, you've paid for a year of Dashlane, right?
Yep.
So turn it off, but there you have it. If you decide that Norton is not your cuppo, you can go back to it.
And we have frequently said that we don't like programs that try to do everything. Because they end up not doing anything well.
Putting your eggs in all in one basket.
But, yeah, try them both. See which one you like.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Stay cool on the way home, too. And I'll be talking to you later.
All right. Have fun.
Yep. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah. Having a password manager is super important. Super important.
Well, I'm glad you got me to switch over to NPass.
I love NPass.
I'm loving that.
And NPass is free.
Yeah.
So, but if you're going to use a more commercial one, Dashlane is very good. So is Norton. Which one you prefer, again, as Steve said, that's a religious issue.
Yeah.
And it depends entirely on you. So play around with, if you know, he's already got Dashlane. He knows what it's like. So he's got months left on his contract with Dashlane. So you can play with Norton all he wants and see whether or not it's the thing for him.
Yeah, which one he can get comfortable with, it, you know, it makes sense to him. So you're paying for two different items, you know, I mean.
He's already paid for the one.
Yeah.
So see what happens. And I like I said, I love NPass because I'm cheap.
Well, I wound up paying. I wound up paying for the one version because I've got it on multiple computers.
Right.
At that, my tablets, the two laptops, even on my phone. So, you know, there it's.
But I tried it for, what, 6 months, 8 months before I paid for it?
Yeah. Well, I was trying it for
use
a month.
It for free. You can use it for free.
Yeah.
But, it's an important, to me, it's important to be able to really give it a workout.
Yeah.
You know, I've...
I've gotten in such a head. Scary.
That's the Zoom function.
Yeah. It's me rocking back and forth.
Yeah.
I do have commitment issues. Well, so I always like to use something for a while.
Looks like you got some diction issues there, too.
Apparently today I do,
well,
yes.
It's fun, too, in that with the NPass, you can select how weak or strong you want it.
Right.
And sometimes the only time you're limited is by the website itself.
Yeah, the other end.
Yeah. The other end, how much they can handle.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like with my banking, they got it up to only 25 characters.
Yeah, you told us that. Yeah.
I hate when you get that password too long message.
Yeah.
What do you mean too long? It's not too long. It's only 48 characters.
Really? With all kinds of punctuation and everything else in it. I love it.
Yep. We never did hear back from David in the YouTube chat, but Shand35 says, what do you think of RoboForm Password Manager? Had it for many years with zero problems. Yeah, it's a fine product.
I just went from RoboForm to NPass. And, I mean, it's doing the same thing. You know, I mean, with the Chrome browser, it'll fill in fields and all that with the autofill. But, you know, I just like the NPass. I was a RoboForm user for a long time. Matter of fact, when they first came out, because it was easy and filling out stuff and everything else. Yeah. But then you turned me on to the NPass, and like you say, it was free. I tried it out for a month, and I like this feature. Because, again, we can't stress it enough. Your passwords have to be different. They have to be unique, and they have to be strong. Because as you hear nowadays, you know, with all our callers calling in saying, oh, I think I got hacked, or, you know, I got this bogus email or this or that, because they're always trying to get in there and steal your information. And if your passwords, like they say, if they learn one and that's the one you use on multiple accounts, which a lot of folks do.
You never should do, by the way.
But you're hosed.
And most of the password managers are now adding that feature to tell you if you've used the same password.
Yeah, you've already used this password. Yeah.
But it's silly not to, especially, you could try it out for, it's free. NPass is free.
The only time I've ever had a problem with a long password is when I set up a beautiful password on my computer, and then I had to type it into, like, the Roku box.
Oh.
And you got to down, over.
Yeah.
Jeez and crackers. This is a 64-character password, and it's going to take me an hour and a half.
That's why.
And then you made a mistake on character three.
Three!
I had to do that. That's why I hooked up my little keyboard.
Yeah.
To my Raspberry Pi.
Yeah.
Use the keyboard and the mouse, like you say, because that's going up, over, down, over, down. Yeah, no. I'd throw it through the window.
Yeah. I do like the ones where you can log in on the website and they give you a code.
Yeah.
And the code is much easier to type in than the rest of it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's generally speaking, listen, if you're not using a password manager, honestly, shame on you.
Yeah.
They're easy to use. They're convenient to use and they're secure and they keep you secure out on the web. There's nothing more heartbreaking than, you know, I got broken into my account, this and that, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know, where else did you use that password? Oh, everywhere. Well, then all those other accounts are broken into as well.
Have I been pwned? Take a look at how many times your email address has been lost in a breach or a brokerage or just somebody's list shows up on the dark web somewhere, and any password used on that account has been lost. There are 9.7 billion pwned accounts. I wonder if they'll have a party at 10 billion.
Yeah.
There you go. Could. But like I say, the number of folks that you hear nowadays, you know, they're constantly, like I say, because their passwords are all the same. And then they're, well, you know, how'd they get that? You know, and you hear the folks saying that they're getting into, you know, not only their checking account, but they got into this account and that account. Well, there were different passwords, right? No.
Yeah, right.
Because they use all the same passwords on each darn account. And
and the thing that always, always amuses me is when you say to somebody, okay, now you have to come up with a password. You're helping them set up a thing, and what's your username?
Right.
Now you have to come up with a password. And it's like, deer in the headlights.
Oh, you make one up for me.
They are absolutely incapable of coming up with a password. Well, most password managers, including NPass, will generate a password for you that you never have to remember because it gets saved in the thing and you can copy and paste it into any form.
And the only thing is you got to set it up with a master password, and it's got to be long.
And that's the only one you have to remember.
That's the only one you got to remember. And then even after that, now, you can set it up that it might only ask you for the master password once in a blue moon. Otherwise, you can set it up with a PIN number. Put it in the PIN.
On my phone, I can use my fingerprint.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, they give you multiple options. But the only real big password you got to remember is the master one to get in there. Otherwise, every other password that you own, any website, any login, or anything else can be stored into there. No reason to, you know.
And the lovely thing about many of them, including NPass, is that you can store the database encrypted up on, say, Google Drive or whatever.
Yep.
And it's available now in every place you sign into Google, every device. All right, we're going to take a quick break. So if you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to you when we come back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 30 minutes after the hour. This is Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 36 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. Get all the numbers in, and you're probably better off. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Dennis from Rochester, New York. What's up, Dennis?
Hi, guys. I'm using Windows 10. It was a clean install around February or March. Past, I don't know, 6-7 weeks, I'm getting random reboots. I'm thinking it might have something to do with the fact that I've got Avast and then there's Windows Defender on here. It says if I turn off real-time protection, you can turn off the setting for a short time before it turns back on automatically. I've tried that, and it's not really off long enough. But there's also a lot of settings below that. Tamper protection. prevents others from tampering with important security features. And then there's a controlled folder access, prevents files and folders in memory areas from being gotten into by unfriendly application. So I'm not sure what, and that's under ransomware protection, by the way. So I'm not really sure whether to S or wind my watch. So
Yeah, right. You can turn it off, schedule. Yeah. Microsoft doesn't really want you to turn off their protection.
Yeah.
So when you do, schedule scans will continue to run. Downloaded files or installed files will not be scanned. And pretty much that's it. And you're right. It'll eventually just turn itself back on.
You should be able to tell Windows you're running a different program and have it ignore Windows Defender.
Yeah, I turned it off on mine.
Yeah.
But did it turn itself back on?
Right.
Well, I disabled everything on that because I've got the...
Well, but you should check just in case.
I've got the Norton suite.
But but there's a separate issue, which is that should not cause reboots.
No, it shouldn't.
So you're having reboots. First, how old is your machine?
About 8 years old.
Yeah, there you
go.
It could easily be the power supply. It could be the motherboard.
It's cooling fans.
RAM. Could be the cooling fans overheating, and that will shut it down.
Spinning hard drive.
Yeah, it could be. It could be any one of 50 things. The reality is that an 8-year-old machine is going to have trouble. And
Have you opened up the case at all in the past 8 years?
Oh, yeah, I've got the case open right now, yeah.
And how are the fans, though? Are they moving freely? They're
dust.
Yeah, a lot of them fill up with dust and dirt because I always described them as a vacuum cleaner.
Also,
they
not
suck
just
the dirt in one side and blow it out the other end, and it usually gets stuck in the fans and everything else.
There are filters, those will fill up, and then you can't pull air through.
Or pets.
If you have pets, if you're a smoker. There are a lot of reasons that your filters will clog up and your fans will clog up. So those are check to see that your fans are clean and clear. But if you've got the thing open and are you running it open?
Yes.
Yeah. It also depends if it's in the sunlight. That will cause it to overheat if there's no air conditioning in the house. Days like today, 90 degrees.
We're getting a lot of phones in that have had temperature warnings show up in the logs.
Yeah. Have you had issues with your electricity?
No.
I would still make sure your fan on the back of the computer isn't clogged, or sometimes there's a fan underneath. As you take the cover off and you look at the power supply, underneath there's another vent. Make sure that's not clogged.
Sure that the fan for the power supply itself is running.
Yeah.
And as you may have two or three fans, and if that one is not running, you've got a problem.
Yeah.
And as we're moving into air conditioning season, when the air conditioners kick on and the power dims a little bit, that might be enough for a marginal power supply to choke.
Yep. An 8-year-old computer, it certainly owes you nothing at this point, but the reality is that an 8-year-old computer is certainly causing the issues itself.
And I did find that if you have Windows 10 Pro, you can use the group policy editor to permanently and completely disable Windows Defender in favor of something else.
Right.
Yeah, I don't have Pro.
Right.
So, I was reading a little bit that Windows Defender can interfere with some...
It can interfere, but it shouldn't cause reboots.
Reboots. It shouldn't do the reboots. No. The only time it should reboot is perhaps after an update. It does an update, wants to shut down and restart. But that's it.
Should I shut off that prevents ransomware from accessing folders? Should I shut off that option? I'm wondering if that might be it because I'm digging into different stuff at various times.
The only reason that that would cause an issue is because you're on an 8-year-old machine, it may be overstressing it.
Mm-hmm.
But turning that stuff off is a Band-Aid solution and a bad one.
Okay.
So really what we're telling you is you've got an 8-year-old computer. might be time to
it
look at
it. It served you well.
It's something different.
Okay. All right. Well,
I hate to say
guys.
That.
But I appreciate the information.
Sure. Yep. Thank you.
Bye.
Yep. You know, when here's the thing. We always
we can't always be the bearer of great news,
right? But also, we often find that we have, how best to put this, surprises when we realize how long we've owned something.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I was
like,
I just bought that in 2016.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or in his case, 2012.
And the sooner you plan for replacing it, the easier it is to replace. We have a lot of customers come into the shop and their computer's dead and it's going to cost too much to fix and I can't really afford a new computer now. And it's one of the tricks a friend of mine taught me years ago for cars, making your car payment. When you pay off your car, keep making your car payment to like another account.
Yeah.
And then you've got your down payment or at least a whole other car when you're ready.
Yep. Absolutely a wise thing to do. And the same with your computer. If you put, let's say, $20 a week.
Yeah.
What
is that, two coffees?
Except for the Flower City Coffee Company.
Yeah.
And then it's almost 20 coffees.
Yep.
If you put $20 a week, do the math. You know, how long does it take you to buy a new computer? At $20 a week, it's a tiny little bite. Hard to notice.
And they've dropped so drastically in price.
And they have dropped drastically in price.
I mean, you know, because you're probably not looking. If you've got a decent monitor, you don't have to replace that. It's just a replacing the box.
Right.
And it comes standard usually with a keyboard and a mouse. You know, hook it up to your existing monitor. And away you go.
And you've probably already got a keyboard and mouse.
Yeah, but they come out, they always throw that and the speakers.
They're throwing everything in now because people aren't buying them much anymore. But yeah, so be aware that whatever your, take a look at how old your computer actually is. I put together a list recently just because I got curious and I realized that my desktop is 2016. It's 4 years old. I honestly would have thought maybe 2018.
Yep.
You know, maybe.
Apple puts the dates of the computer model in their names, and sometimes we don't like that.
Yeah, right.
I have a 2016 computer. Really? It's been that long? It's
been that long. It's exactly right.
My desktop at home is 2012.
Well, that's why I wound up getting this Buffalo drive, and it's a 2 terabyte hard drive.
Yep.
Hangs off my network. Because, like you said, doing the homework and figuring stuff out, I've got a server that Dan and I set up back in, you ready for this?
Yeah.
2002.
Yeah.
The thing is still running, still going, knock on wood. But if it dies tomorrow, it owes me nothing. And second of all, I got everything backed up.
That's the big thing.
Yep.
And that's what most people don't do.
Every night, because I've got it off onto a separate partition, every night that Buffalo drive starts up and it just looks out for incremental changes, anything that happened out on that that server drive. Because we don't use it a heck of a lot, but there's a few things that still put out there, but it just backs it up. And I don't even have to think about it. I check it maybe once or twice during the week and say, oh, yeah, ran here, ran there. And it's just doing the backups. So I don't have any worries. If that machine, like I say, dies tomorrow, no biggie.
Well, as I've said many times, I have multiple online backups. I have I use rsync, which backs up the new stuff, anything new I put on my system.
Uh-huh.
I have pCloud, which backs up instantaneously to the cloud. In a different cloud,
yep.
And then I back up and I do most of my stuff nowadays anyway on Google Drive, and all I do is every once in a while I pull all that stuff down and it gets backed up to those other two places, and life is good all the way around. But I don't worry about it anymore. If my 4-year-old laptop dies, it's going to be a pain in the neck to set up a new one.
Yep.
Okay, I get that, but The reality is it's going to be way less of a pain in the neck.
A lot easier. Yeah. And like I say, when my desktop unit crashed and I had to get another box, it was like, yeah, so I got to reinstall some programs. That was the biggest pain. I didn't even have to give a second thought of, oh, shoot, these photos or these documents. No, it's already up on the cloud. I got them backed up there. It does it automatically because I switched to Google Docs. Well, it's got to be 3 years now. And everything I create is up there. And it's easy to do. And the same with my photos.
Oh, yeah.
Got all my wife's stuff moved up there, too, in case something happens to her machine.
Well, and how many of us have pictures that, you know, grandparents who aren't alive anymore, parents who aren't alive anymore, kids when they were babies, and they're all digital now?
Yeah, I'll just make another kid.
You just make another kid. The heck with it. But I have all of those old pictures are digitized.
Yeah.
They're all up in P Cloud. They're all up in Google Photos. They're all up on my other backup. And it would have to be, if a catastrophe is big enough that it takes out all three of those geographically separated servers, then I'm not really going to be thinking about, oh my gosh, my photos.
You're going to have other things to worry about.
Yeah.
But so, I mean, for me, it's 40,000. It's got to be 40,000 plus photos up there easily.
Yeah.
Because I moved all my woodworking ones up, and I got thousands of those because all the different projects that I was working on, and I constantly took pictures and that, you know, and I just put them all up there. And all the pictures of my late wife and that, and the grandkids and everything else. Matter of fact, I found an old picture of my grandmother, God rest her soul, you know, she, from her retirement party.
Oh, wow.
And everybody else, you know, I threw it up there. You know, where'd you get that? I had it stashed up there on the cloud. It was just up there and I forgot about it. But I did a search for it. And sure enough, it found her. And I posted it up there on the webpage because there's a thing going right now with my family. They say my one cousin put up our family tree. And I go, yeah, that thing is way outdated. Because my dad was one of 19, and that's when there was just the local kids. Now, our kids have grown up, and they've had kids, and, you know, need a bigger tree. Either that or start a forest.
Yeah, start your own forest.
Yeah, really.
Or get a genealogy program or
My wife's already done that, set it up in the genealogy, but still in all you see this picture and you see this old tree that somebody hand-painted with all the limbs.
Yeah. How
limbs
nice.
Off of it and the branches there, and it's like, the branches aren't big enough. We can't add anymore.
It's a nice snapshot of 25 years ago, but... Or 50 or 100.
50.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, about.
I've started genealogy a long time ago, and many people have said, oh, I'll get your tree for you. But we don't have a tree. You know, my ancestors came from a little town outside of a little town outside of Naples, where, you know, we'd have to have real humans go and search through the records in the churches to figure out who
if
came
they still
from where.
Even have them.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a long way away. That'll probably never happen. And I'm not, you know, it's nice to know where you came from, but I'm more interested in where I'm going. So
I kind of get a kick out of some of those TV commercials where, you know, I used to think I was German and we pulled out the lederhosen every year.
Oh yeah.
Then I did my DNA. Turns out we're Scottish. And now I've got the kilt. You know?
But that's amazing. I mean, my wife does what they call grave photos.
Yeah.
There's a company program called Find a Grave.
Yep.
And people are trying to do the ancestry and all that, and they know that, say, an individual is buried here, there, or wherever, and they ask folks to go to that cemetery, even though they're in another city. They'll fill out a request, and my wife is one of these photographers that would go to the, say, like a Holy Sepulchre, and take that photo for them. And then post it up there so that they could add it to their family tree. And she's done quite a few sections of Holy Sepulchre and just photographing them, posting them up there. So if folks are looking for loved ones, it's unbelievable that the number of thousands of folks in, you know, during the summer months is when it's most active, are looking to update this information because, like Steve was saying, you know, they're trying to get more into, they were thinking they were this, but it turns out they're that. And, you know, as far as ancestry and that, and it's really remarkable.
Yeah. I know my ancestors all come from this same little area. And so I'm pretty much Italian right back to the earliest days. There's a Scotsman somewhere way, way, way in my past. My uncle did a family tree.
Well, my grandmother was English, and my grandfather was Irish, him and his brother. They both came through Quebec and then from Quebec on down to Rochester.
I'm a first-generation American. My father came over on the boat to Ellis Island.
Yeah.
Well,
himself, remember, those were the days. His father put him on a boat, and then his uncle Nick, who I'm named after, took him off the boat. But for the entire trip over, it was just a 7-year-old kid sitting on a boat.
Yeah, I got my grandfather's
Ellis Island
number.
Yeah, I do too.
And it's that's how we did quite a bit of the research. But it's like, whoa.
It's my cousin James, God love him.
They had to be pretty daunting, you know? I mean, like you
say. Crackers. No, I mean, I suppose, of course, those were the days when you could say to somebody, will you watch my child on the passage, and they would say yes, and they actually would.
Yeah, and you didn't have to worry about harm or anything else. And they'd pass them off to a relative once they got to wherever they were going. And, you know, again, there wasn't this fear.
Yep. It was, those were very, 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 very different times. But yeah, genealogy isn't as essential. Although I am apparently descended from Piero della Francesca, who was a painter, a Renaissance painter, the man who invented perspective.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, pretty cool stuff.
Oh.
Pretty cool stuff. So, that's me, I guess. All right, well, that music tells us that's it. This week is done and in the history books. 2 solid hours of this show, and we are done. So I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in. Thank you very much. And texted and were in the chat and everything else. We're done for this week, but we will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites right here on the Truly Great, and truly grateful to you that we can continue to be member-supported Jazz 90.1. Happy summer, happy longest day of the year, and we will see you in just 166 hours. Be good, stay healthy.